Welcome to Your Career Podcast, the podcast that helps to ensure your career success. To start getting on track with your career, download my free career goals calendar from thecareersacademy.online. My goals calendar includes a SMART goals template and a weekly tasks sheet that will ensure step by step you get closer to reaching your career goals. So download my goals calendar today at thecareersacademy.online. Now on with the show. Welcome to episode 207 of Your Career Podcast. Welcome to 2021, and we look forward to a year filled with hope and new possibilities. How did 2020 treat you? Were you one of the many who experienced a redundancy due to COVID? If so, how did you get through it? Today's very special guest is a talented lady, a mum of two, whose role took a COVID hit unexpectedly. Today's interview is an empowering story of resilience and determination. Eleni Ent is a talented media sales leader with 19 years of experience leading advertising sales teams in the Australian and UK media industry. It truly is an honour to interview such a talented, determined, and resilient lady on this podcast. Now, with experience in sales leadership, training, digital strategy, marketing management, publishing, TV, content partnerships, and radio advertising, Eleni is well placed to help her clients grow their business. She recently took the plunge into self-employment after COVID-19 led to an unexpected redundancy. She explains the emotional roller coaster of change in this episode and how redundancy was a blessing in disguise, as it was the best thing that ever happened to her. Let's find out more from Eleni now. And let's welcome Eleni Ent to the show. Hello, Eleni.
Hi.
It's lovely to have you here. I've been wanting to interview you for quite a while now because interesting journey and had a fantastic career progression within sales, which has been amazing. And you're a young mum and you've gone through lots of changes. So I think today talking to you, it's going to inspire a lot of people. So how about, just to kick us off though, let's find out, it's all about careers. What were your early aspirations for your career when you were a little girl?
Well, I always wanted to be famous, but that changed as I grew and realised that, you know, that wasn't really a realistic goal to be a singer. I couldn't actually sing. Then when I got to uni, I studied communications, a BA in communications, but I still didn't know what that meant. I loved journalism and writing. I loved talking to people, but I really just wanted to work somewhere that I would work hard but have fun. And so I heard about this media thing and ended up, my first job ended up being as a sales assistant at Australian Radio Network. But what that did was make me realise sales was definitely for me very quickly, but I don't think anyone grows up saying, oh, I really want to work in sales when I grow up. But it turns out some people just end up loving it, and it turns out I wasn't too bad at it either. And then built my career specifically in media sales, so advertising, radio, TV, print, digital now. So I've kind of worked across all different types of media sales in my 19 years.
Well, fantastic. I mean, changing different areas is so interesting, isn't it? Because you've been with Reed Business Information in the UK, so you've worked in London for a while, then ACP Magazines and Australian Radio Network and Brand New Media, and then Bauer Media for many, many years, and then a big transition. But let's talk about your sales career so far. What is it about sales that frightens people? What is it about sales that inspires you? Because you, Eleni, I've known you for quite a while now, and when it comes to sales, you're just the power woman.
Well, I think because some people see sales as a dirty word, and that's the problem. So when you think about a salesperson or a sales job, you think, oh, no, those are the people that have to lie or tell people whatever they need to hear to buy something. And the biggest difference between that stigma and reality for me is sales is actually helping someone solve a problem. Yeah. And my specific area of sales was in advertising, marketing, but it's in any sales. So whatever you're trying to sell is meant to make someone's life better. And I think the one thing that I've learned from training new starters in sales as well is they always feel like, oh, but I'm such an interruption. I'm calling this company. I'm just interrupting them with my call or my meeting that I want to have. And I say you're only an interruption until you add value. The minute you're adding value, it's a partnership. It's exciting. It's you have the opportunity in what I did to grow a company, grow with them. And I've had clients for almost my whole career that I still have relationships with, whether we work together or not, throughout the different stages, it, you know, was up to what I was doing. But the point is that you also make relationships for life. So this is not a cheesy sales tactic. This is something that you do because you're passionate about finding a solution to help the client with whatever it is that you're selling and what their need is. I think the problem is if you're trying to fit a round, what is the saying, a square peg in a round hole, that's when it's not going to work. But as long as it's the right fit, sales is actually not scary or hard. You just got to open that first door, and then from there it should be a fruitful long-term relationship if you pick the right partner or company to work with.
Mm, you make sales sound really fun, you know.
Oh, and it's fun. And there's a, you know, the celebration of the wins.
Yeah, I think the winning bit is the fun bit. Years ago I was in recruitment, and of course recruitment is all sales. And I found making those cold calls really, really challenging because I'm not a natural salesperson. But listening to you and the way you view sales, it really makes it sound a hell of a lot more fun than I felt it was at the time.
Yeah, and if you really believe it too, you'll do better when you make that call because you believe you're adding value. And I guess if you don't, maybe you're not selling the right thing. Maybe you shouldn't do it. Yeah. You know, if it's not something you actually believe in or are passionate about, I couldn't do that. I couldn't call someone and convince them to buy something that I didn't believe in. So that's a big part of that as well, I think. Mm. And maybe you just weren't that passionate about recruitment at the time.
Yeah, but actually, you're absolutely right. It's if you're solving someone's problem, then it's not really a sale, is it? It's a benefit that you're adding to someone else. So I can feel your passion there. And you must have also done a lot of sales training in your career.
Yes. So, of course, after 19 years in sales, I was in team manager and sales training and leadership. But that just meant working with a lot of people who'd never, you know, been in the industry before, and teaching them not only the industry and understanding what's what and who's who in the zoo, but also how to approach a client to add value. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where there's confusion. I think people believe they have to know everything before they talk to a client. But I think as long as you understand fundamentally how you can add value, you don't need to know every single thing about whatever it is that you're selling. You just need to know enough to get them to understand how you can work together. And then you work together, work with your internal experts or the partner you work with in the case of my current role, to then deliver it effectively. So you don't necessarily have to have, you know, every bit of knowledge on the tech when it comes to digital, for example. Or you don't even need to know exactly how a car engine works to sell a car, but as long as you believe top line and understand why there is a need for them for that, then happy days.
Yes, I'm definitely solution selling, I believe they call that, you know, finding out, you know, where are your pain points,
yep.
Then how can I solve that problem for you? And then bingo, it's a great relationship. And so how important have you found this relationship development within your sales career? Because without a relationship, people won't trust you. And so people need to get to know you, like you, and trust you. Because at the end of the day, it's not really business to business. It's still human to human, isn't it? So how do you develop that really strong relationship?
I think the very first step is giving them a little bit of myself. And that's where maybe I differ from some others, because I won't follow a script. I'll just be me asking them about themselves, but also giving them a bit of myself. And that doesn't mean spending an hour in your first meeting talking about your life story, which sometimes maybe I'm guilty of, but it's not about that. It's about trying to follow the agenda, meaning you're there to find out if there is a problem you can solve. That's the purpose, but also understanding that there's a person behind that. So what is making your day-to-day difficult? What are the things that your boss or the board or whoever you have to deal with are complaining about? What do they need? And is that something I can help with? And then within that story, you're also giving a bit of yourself. So maybe, for example, telling them a story of another situation that's been similar. So, oh, I understand, because I've been in that situation. Here's how I handled it, and here's how we solved it. And immediately they feel more comfortable, and then eventually becomes a more personal relationship. But I think if you try to do that in the very first minute you walk in there, you may end up getting out of having a good business relationship. You might make a friend, but really you're there for business purpose. So it's about finding that balance. And I feel like naturally I have been good at that, but also there are people that you don't need to have a personal relationship with, because you may not have that common ground for that, but that's okay too. You still end up with a strong business relationship by listening. I think listening is the number one thing. And like salespeople love to talk, but we have to remember with two ears, one mouth, and try and listen a little bit as well, because then your response is going to be tailored and a lot more effective.
Yeah. You know, there's a saying that I really love, and it says that we must listen to understand, not listen to respond. Because so often when you're in a conversation, people go, yeah, 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 and then they want to talk as well. And then that way you don't actually understand what the other person really is saying, you know, in between the lines. But if you listen to truly understand and ask the right questions, that really helps a relationship professionally as well as personally, yes?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now your career, you know, starting from, you know, just starting in sales, has gone in this fabulous trajectory right through to group business director at Bauer Media. And so, I mean, that's a very powerful position for you. But then this year, COVID hit. And COVID has just hit every industry, you know, in such a huge way, and the media industry in particular, and of course, hospitality too. And then now I know that you are the mother of two beautiful boys. Now, as a group business director, that's a lot of responsibility. So how were you able to manage to juggle motherhood with this, you know, senior executive role?
Actually, it wasn't easy. I struggled a lot when we were office space just before COVID. I struggled a lot with finding the balance, and because I had only returned from maternity leave yet less than a year before COVID hit. So I had one kid before, now I had two. They were at different daycare centres, and I had to rush from one to the other. I had to make sure I was there. The kids were there when they opened. I had to make sure I was there before it closed, but I also had to fulfil the job, which sometimes meant that really I should work another 3 hours in the office. At that time, I didn't have access at home. It was really hard, really hard. And often I felt just completely burnt out. And actually, I don't think I realised how much that was the case until COVID hit and we were all working from home, and realising how much I enjoyed time with the kids, realising that I could work from home but then work after hours and work a little bit more to suit my life rather than just a little bit for face value of showing that I was there, whereas I was probably working harder at home, but nobody was watching me to, you know, to do that. Just had to show in the work, in the results, which was hard because it was COVID, but we did everything we could.
Yeah, but you were still able to get results when working from home, and it must have felt, perhaps you felt a little more free because you were working from home.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, but we got, I mean, considering the circumstances, my team, we still got, you know, as many sales as we could. It wasn't a complete disaster through COVID, but overall, I guess when when there is a massive cut across the whole business in revenue, they have to make pretty big decisions. Actually, Bauer is now called R Media, A-R-E, Audience Reach Engagement, and they rebranded, or they were bought out in approximately May or June. And then from that, I was made redundant on the 28th of July.
The 28th of July. Now, that must have been quite a blow. I guess for a while perhaps you were thinking, oh, what's going to be happening? Because you would have seen all the changes that were happening in so many companies as well, and thinking, oh, is my job safe? So what was that feeling when you were told, oh, so sorry, but there will be a redundancy?
It was a shock. I think it's a shock to anyone. And I realised that because some members of my team were made redundant before I was. Mm. And they too were shocked. And I thought, well, we can't be shocked because so many people have been. It's not just us. It's hundreds of people within the company we're in, plus so many others. And then when it got to me, I was shocked. So obviously it's just something that you think, or you feel bad for that person, but it's something that happens to other people. Mm. It's not something that happens to you. And then when it does, you think, but hang on, and then you run through your mind of all the things that you did well and maybe what you didn't do your best at, and you blame yourself and you feel upset, you feel like you did something wrong, you're not good enough, et cetera. But then when you see what was actually going on with COVID, you realise it happened to some of the best people in our industry and in the world. So it was really about trying to put it back into perspective. And I was lucky enough to have some really good conversations with some really senior leaders across all of the industry, and I mean a number of them, including yourself, Jane, as someone who helped me through that, and my book, bit of a plug.
Put my book down.
which I will talk about in a minute. No, I've got some points from here, actually, that I think I will mention, because this is the next part. Mm. We talked about how redundancy felt, but then when you have a book like this that makes you put into perspective the fact that you now have the opportunity to do whatever you want, you can start to rethink everything and start to get excited about it, because now I have a chance to do something that I want to do for me, for my kids.
You know, you wrote an amazing article which you released on LinkedIn, which generated a lot of interest because it was really heartwarming and heartfelt. And in that article, you talked about how you felt and how you questioned yourself for a while, and then you realized, hey, I'm still really good at what I do. I'm going to keep doing it. And you've now made this really successful transition during COVID, may I say, and that's no mean feat, is it? You've made this amazing transition into self-employment. And so you're freelancing, but you're working for an amazing company called Search Rescue. Yes, Search Rescue. Yep, I've got that right.
Yep, that's right.
And so now in this capacity, you've got the freedom of choice. It's a new area for you. You're still in a sales capacity, which is your forte, and you're very strong in this particular area. Tell me about this transition. How does it feel and how does it work?
Well, I think taking a step back, when you think about the option of freelancing, you really need to think about, I know that you said not to get your book out, but there's a whole section around page 45 on your values.
Thank you for mentioning the book, by the way.
I thought it was important because there's a section on understanding what my values are and then also putting them in order. So what's most important to me? Is it about helping others? To some extent it is, because that's what sales in my mind actually is. Is it about balance? That's number 19 on the list. Achieve the right proportion between my personal and professional responsibilities. So you take this list and then you put that in order of your priority. And I think if you're thinking about freelancing or even actually going for another job somewhere else, this is your chance, because you don't have a job. To choose, to be picky, because I know that during COVID recruitment isn't that easy. However, you shouldn't undersell yourself either. So what I thought of that is I need to work for someone who has values that I feel either are in line with mine, or at the very least work with mine, meaning what they do can fit in with what I need and what my values are. So I was really lucky in that we had a personal friend that had a business in search marketing. So that means SEO and SEM marketing, so making sure you help clients appear at the top of Google search results in very simple terms. And this was something I had a lot of experience in. I had very limited experience in this area, but I did understand solution and sales and insight selling as well. I also understood advertising and how where this fit into the bigger marketing picture for clients. So I thought that let's overcome that fear of not knowing enough about search and go for it. And so I contacted this friend and asked if I could freelance for him. And now I'm focused on that wholly. I'm not doing anything else, but it's nice to feel like my life is open. I don't have to do 9 to 5. I don't have to adhere to certain things at certain times, which actually I loved in the past, but for this stage of my life, I don't want to have anymore for at least the next few years. And I was lucky enough to find that. But I guess my point is, if someone's thinking, oh, I can't freelance because I don't know everything there is to know about that thing that I love, the thing that I'm passionate about, it doesn't matter. It's about throwing yourself in there and learning. And I have learned so much in the last few months, I can't even tell you. And there is so much more to learn. I still don't feel like an expert, but that's okay because I'm putting myself out there. I'm honest with clients. And say, I don't know everything about this. I'm not the tech wizard. However, I have a team of people who I partner with who are. And the other value that matched really well for myself for this company is their biggest statement is that they are transparent. And that ticks a lot of boxes for me because there'd be nothing worse than working for a company that isn't there to do the right thing by their clients. And that just means transparent with whatever rates they're going to charge, what you're going to get for your dollar, what they're going to do, what's coming in the process. And so that gives me immediate comfort that if I'm talking to someone, that we're in the same boat. Because you never want to be dodgy or...
Yeah, and so the takeaway from this is that you did some self-reflection, which is so important. And thank you for using my book for that, because that's the whole point of the book, really, is so that people can get clear on what they can do, what they really want. Because when you're making a transition, the choices are now yours. And so you decided that flexibility and freedom was very important to you at this phase in your life. And our values change over time, don't they? And then also transparency. And you know what? Usually with our values, the ones that we really, really want to fulfill at any given time when you do a values assessment, they're the ones that you don't have right now being fulfilled. So at that time when you did it, you must have thought, oh, I don't have enough freedom and flexibility. There perhaps has not been the transparency that I would have preferred. And so that became really important to you because you were tolerating what you didn't have, yeah? And the more you tolerate something, the more aggrieved you get and the more annoyed, and then you think, no, I got to do something about it. And then you identified this new area, and you're so brave because you love to give everything a go, don't you? And you think, okay, it looks like they've got the good values that match mine. I'm being freelance, I've got more freedom. The way that the leaders in search rescue are transparent and open, and they kind of get you and you get them. And so their rapport was there. So you started to tick all these boxes, yeah? And so now you're at search rescue, you're doing the work for them. And tell me, what is search rescue all about?
So it's just Google search marketing. So the wonderful thing about that is I've always worked for a particular media where you were limited to whatever demographic that media targeted. So radio, depending on the station you work for, that's who you go for as a client. Same with magazines that are media, same with any other job that I've done. But in this job, there aren't many companies that don't want their business to be at the top of search results when it comes to Google. So it keeps the opportunity as endless. So I could talk to your local hairdresser through to McDonald's, which probably have their own in-house team, but you get the idea. There's no one that I can think of that wouldn't somewhat be relevant to what we do. So that made it really exciting as well, because now it was not limited to female products or particular demographic products. I could just talk to any business who wanted that opportunity. And that means that I feel even more than ever that the world is my oyster.
That's so exciting, isn't it? Because when you look around and there are businesses everywhere, surrounded by businesses, and every business needs to be Googleable in order to be found. Yes, I love the word Googleable. It just rolls off the tongue.
That's a word. Very nice. I'm pretty sure.
I think it's a great word. But if you're Googleable, that means, because everyone, there are other search engines, but everyone goes on to Google. You know that? I mean, that's why, I mean, it's become an adjective, hasn't it? Let's Google.
Well, I did hear a stat that the number one search, because Bing is the next, or Bing or Yahoo, I guess it was.
Yeah.
But I don't work with those, so I'm not across it. But I think the number one search term on them is Google. Anyway, so ultimately you need to appear in Google search results.
Can you imagine? You land on Bing, you think, oh, why am I on Bing? How do I find Google?
Exactly. That's it. That's pretty much exactly what happens, I've heard.
Well, I think that, I mean, that service, it's, I mean, my goodness, you've got such a great range for your audience who all need this, yes? So tell me, if people wanted to get in touch with you, Eleni, what do they need to do?
I think LinkedIn is becoming a really good tool for anything to do with business. Mm-hmm. I've had a number since that article came out. I think I had around 1,500 likes or comments, et cetera, which was overwhelming. It was crazy. But with that came a lot of people asking me for help. Mm. But it was not necessarily for revenue. They just wanted advice. Some wanted advice on how to start a small business. And I thought, no, I don't know, I'm just figuring out how to freelance. But I think it was so, I say that like I'm making fun of them. That's not fair. I think I'm loving, because I don't know. I'm making fun of myself. But it was really an honour. It really was. And I guess I'm just saying I'm humbled by that response. And if somebody wanted to work with me, I would absolutely love to look after them and do an overview of their business and work on where search can fit in, mm-hmm. and also how we can drive them leads, because that's ultimately what we do. So LinkedIn is, my name, Eleni Ent.
Mm-hmm. I will have in my show notes on your career podcast all the links to find you on LinkedIn, and also I'll add the Search Rescue URL as well, so people can click straight through. And if you ever want to have a chat with Eleni and be inspired with regard to getting into sales, because, you know, look, this is her passion, she's so good at it, or else if you need help with your own business, if you're a small business owner or a large business owner and you need help with Google search, because that's the place to be these days, you have to be on page one of Google, get in touch with Eleni Ent.
Oh, thank you.
Be able to help.
You didn't have to do that.
No. Well, you didn't have to show the book. That was a surprise. But what's so nice is when you've got something, if you've got a skill or you've got a book or you've got a passion for something that you know can help other people, then why not share it? Yeah. And I think that's a lovely thing. And I think a big lesson I've learned from listening to you today is resilience is so important. Change happens. Stuff happens in our lives. We're all juggling an awful lot. And as women, we tend to juggle a little bit more. Men will jump up in arms, you know, no. But no, women do have extra to juggle. And my husband agrees. So he said, if I was ever reincarnated, he says, if I'm ever reincarnated, do not reincarnate me as a woman. I'd rather being a man, because you women have so much to go through. And actually, it's very true, isn't it? So good on you for your resilience. I wish you lots of success, and such an honor to have you on your career podcast.
Oh, it's an honor to be here. Thank you so much.
If you enjoy your career podcast, please hop over to iTunes and leave a review, because that's how we get to reach more people. And if you need help in your career, go to www.thecareersacademy.online, where you'll be able to find lots of online programs as well as one-on-one coaching with me. See you soon.
If you enjoyed this episode of Your Career Podcast, I invite you to check out my career success program at thecareersacademy.online. The Career Success Program is the original program that uniquely provides 24/7 on-demand career support and fortnightly live career coaching sessions to keep you on track to reach your career goals. It is the essential resource for anyone who wants to manage their career effectively, make a career change, and land the job they'll love. Whether you're in exploration mode or seeking a new career direction and need help to make it a reality, the Career Success Program is for you. Not only do you get access to my step-by-step roadmap to navigate your career crossroads, my extensive training library and exclusive members-only discounts and tools, you'll also become part of my supportive community of professionals who will help you with feedback, encouragement, and advice. All this and more makes the Career Success Program the number one place to be for anyone looking to start, manage, and grow their career. Check it out and join me at thecareersacademy.online.